We present Luggage, a monologue for radio by Ben Francis, with Gordon Ridout as Bob.
I was fine getting on the plane. I've always liked flying. I even like airport lounges. I don't mind too much if the flights hold up. I sit there with a can looking at the planes taking off. It's that time when all your luggage is gone and you've got nothing to do but sit there. I'm dying for a burn, but there's no smoking in this bit and there won't be on the plane. But still, I'm on 6 weeks' leave. There's CNN going on the telly in the corner, and there's all these pictures of things blowing up, and I turn and look out the window at the planes. Then we board, and ahead of me, I see this Asian guy, only I don't really notice him, just one of the people getting on. Except he has this heavy bag, he nearly drops. But I feel fine, and we all get on, and sit down, and I've got a window seat, which is great. The stewardesses do that synchronized swimming bit where they show you where the exits are, and I'm not really listening, you know, no one else is, because you don't really believe you're going to crash, and what could you do about it anyway? Then the engines start up, and I always love the bit where you're picking up speed, and then you're bombing along at 90 miles an hour, and then suddenly you tilt up like you're on a coach that's doing a wheelie, and you expect to go into a ditch at any minute, but you don't. Instead you go upwards, and then you burst through the clouds to where it's always sunlight. Then you're sitting there with nothing to do, and the seatbelt lights go off, and they turn on the televisions that are on that little screen at the back of the seat in front of you. I get a scotch and water from the stewardess, put the headphones in, see what's on. Not a lot, really. It all looks the same. Except, I come across a repeat of South Park. It's that one where Saddam Hussein turns up in hell because he's Satan's lover, and it's pretty funny. Only I notice the Asian guy with the heavy bag sitting in the aisle seat across from me, and he isn't laughing. Well, so what? He's not watching telly at all. He's got the headphones in, and he's probably listening to one of the music channels. I mean, I don't know if he's Asian. He could be Mexican or something. Only it's starting to bother me, and I keep looking at him on the sly. Don't be stupid, I say. Mummy holiday, mummy holiday. And I start watching some films they bring round the food, only the film's stupid. It's all these pillocks in New York who don't do any work and go for dates all the time. And I think, Bernie and Tom died, so these birds could stuff themselves with sushi and talk about their boring sex lives. I mean, they're flying Bernie and Tom home now, in the luggage compartment, in metal coffins, so they can get put in wooden ones when they get home, so they can be buried in Surrey or somewhere. But this Asian guy, or not Asian guy, I mean, he put his bag in the luggage rack, and, well, so what? He's been through the metal detector, right? And anyway, it's my holiday. But then there's plastic explosives. And maybe it's not in his bag. Maybe it's in his big case in the luggage compartment, rolled up in his pyjamas, time to go off when we're at 30,000 feet, and there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, that's how they plan it. Maybe it's wrapped around his body, all in plastic. All right, I tell myself. Anybody on the plane could be doing it. I mean, you can't tell. Everyone's got a grudge these days. So I jam in the earphones and put on the music channel and turn it all the way up, and it's something classical, with lots of strings in, and I try to calm down. Though I'm sweating, and my clothes are soaked, and this guy's giving me funny looks, and he's sipping tomato juice, which means he's teetotal, which means he's a Muslim, which means he's a terrorist, and don't be stupid, maybe he's a Sikh, though he hasn't got a turban. Okay, maybe he's a Methodist, maybe he's sworn off the sauce because his doctor told him, maybe he's got a hangover, maybe it's a Bloody Mary, only I can't lean over to sniff it. The strings are going full blast, and I look out of the window, and the sun's going red, and the low grey clouds are like flattened streets, and the sun's wandering around like a guy with a flamethrower, but I think I can hear a tick coming all the way from the luggage hold, which I know is stupid, because I'm not going to be able to hear a tick from where I'm sitting, but the strings are giving me a headache, it's blasting my head open, and he gets up, and I think he's going to put a blade to the hostess, and slash her throat, and force his way into the cockpit, and then the plane goes down, and down, slicing the top off the post office tower, and we all fall out, and the air feels like granite, and it holds us like it doesn't want us to fall, but we pass through it because we're ghosts, and we can't wait to drop through into the Thames, or Oxford Street, and you think about the Blitz, and the people sleeping in the tube stations, and everyone buried under rubble, their own house used to kill them, your own bedroom swooping down and crushing your head. And the bloke's back in his seat now, he's just been to use the toilet, as you knew he was, and he's looking out at the sunset like he's praying to the east. West, you Burke, the sunset's in the west. What the hell is wrong with you? You never came apart under fire. But then, you've always got something to do. Here you're stuck. And the sun is going down on fire in trails of smoke, and this guy wants the plane to burst like a comet in the air, and everyone will have to look up and never forget. Then I'm up on my feet, and the stewardess doesn't like it. Though she tries to smile, they don't like you to move around. They want you to stay still and plugged into your seat and not get in their way. She's got one of those big metal trolleys that she's collecting all the plates and cups in. And she says to me, "What's the problem?" And everyone's sitting looking at their stupid little TVs with their headphones and not looking around. Only a couple start to now. But she says I ought to sit down, because that's how they like you. Chained in, looking at a bunch of adverts and MTV, not looking at each other or noticing each other. And if the floor is ripped away suddenly, we won't have to say goodbye or take our headphones off. And if we die, we'll be able to see the pieces fall on 32 channels. And the last time I went to see the football, you couldn't tell who was playing, because what was written on their shirts was Hitachi or Nike. And now everyone's looking round at last and taking their earphones out. Whoopee! Suddenly, they stop looking like laboratory rats plugged into TVs as an experiment to see how much drivel they can take. And finally, they're looking at me, and I start to tell them, no, not about the bomb, but I know perfectly well isn't there, even though I hear it ticking. Instead, I start to tell them about how in Baghdad people drive right through shootouts. A sniper's got your unit pinned down, and some bloke drives through in an old Citroen with two kids fighting in the back, and the week's shopping like they're supposed to be there. And you and the sniper are some great mistake. And you try not to get in while you're shooting at the sniper you can't see. But then half the time, you get somebody else coming at you out of a burning building, and this one fires a few shots, but it's like he doesn't care if he hits you or not. And there's seven or eight of you all shooting him at once, and he drops dead, and he doesn't even look surprised. And you wonder why he didn't hide himself away like the sniper and do some real damage, but you realise that's why you can't win out there. Because they can't win. And they've stopped trying, because the enemy's over there, and he has been all the time, and it must feel like he always will be, and he's everywhere, all the time, blaring out at you on 36 channels, and you don't even expect to beat it, or kill it, or even dent it, or even make it take notice. You just go on fighting, because that's who you are, and the beast has no idea of who you are. And they've got me in the back of the plane, and they're sticking something in my arm, and... nurses here are all right. If I get too rowdy, I get an injection. I sleep a lot. Pete's the hospital orderly here. He's a funny bloke, the twitch. But he said nothing when he found a bottle of scotch on my bedside table, so he's all right. Anyway, he told me last night, he whispers to me, that he reckons the Yanks did the Twin Towers themselves. But I said to him, that's stupid. I mean, why would the Yanks blow themselves up? I mean, I've heard of suicide bombers, but really? He reckons the Yanks did it to get them into the war. Well, maybe, but people are saying Bush is a donut for letting it happen. So how big a donut would he be if he made it happen and deliberately made himself look like a donut? But that isn't really the point. I mean, Pete's a nervy kind of bloke, he'd believe anything. But that's it. If they want you to feel you aren't safe, then you get paranoid. And where does it stop? Once you get like that, you suspect everyone. War on terror? Why don't they try and make you wet yourself, then? The regimental doctor was around the other day. Very understanding and all that. I know what he means. If I can't stop the shouting in my head, they're going to dump me out of the regiment and leave me on the street when I can't get a job. And really, I was selfish not to get killed. A dead soldier's all right, he's not there to answer back, but not one who gets a bit shouty from time to time, and I want to tell them that it's back there on the front line I can cope, where I can do something about it. It's back here I can't stand it, where everyone's terrified and looking the other way, and nobody can get out of his seat even if we hurtle down like a toboggan and crash through the plate glass window. It's like I'm still on the plane sometimes, and we're still circling. Flying metal coffin.
In Luggage, part of Bob was played by Gordon Ridout. Luggage was written for radio by Ben Francis.